back to the Nationals Review Podcast, the official podcast of thenationalsreview.com. My name is Colm, but you're not here for me. You're here for the heart and soul. The man who sweats, I guess he does sweat. But he puts his, you know what I'm trying to say, it doesn't matter. Here he is, Charles Fleagle.
What an intro.
What an intro. I tried to do something spectacular, and I completely fumbled over my mouth.
I do sweat sometimes, but yeah. I'm not sweating right now.
Not sweating right now. Good.
There's nothing to sweat about with the Nats right now. They are beyond worry at this point, it seems.
Beyond worry. That's an interesting term. Now, trade deadline is tomorrow, correct?
Yeah. They should probably trade everybody.
I mean, what do you think? I mean, I guess we'll get into this later. I just want to know if you think we're a buyer or a seller team now.
I would not at this point see any reason to give away the future for this season. However,
good. That's what I think.
I also don't see too many positions. We could talk about it in a bit, but I don't see too many positions where you can really get a significant upgrade.
Interesting.
So we'll talk about that.
Okay.
So, I don't think there's many moves to be made, not major ones for them.
Right. So, what are you drinking tonight?
I actually got a Dogfish Head 61.
Ooh, I've never had.
Me neither. It's their 60 minute brewed with Syrah grape must.
Ooh, wow. That sounds amazing.
Weird.
Oh, it's not good? Is it too fruity?
No, it tastes kind of like a 60 minute, and it has kind of a wine taste to it too. So it's just odd. I mean, you couldn't have more than one of these.
Really?
But it's not bad. I mean, it's typical Dogfish Head. Like, I love their 60 minute, and right. I love the 90 minute, but like, I don't love most of their beers because they're almost too weird. But they're still cool to try.
Yeah, like that chicory. One, like, I'm
yeah,
not
they
a
have
fan
all kinds
of that.
Of stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't know that I'd buy it again, but I'm not like, oh, I can't drink this.
Right.
It's different. Right. What do you have?
Well, my friend, it might be the official sponsor of Colm now.
Is it Mike's Hard Lemonade?
That would it want to be.
Yeah, the summer of Mike's Hard Lemonade for Colm.
I tried to go diet too, by the way. Remember that?
Yeah,
I've gone back now to regular. Back. Yeah,
have you tried? I've never tried this one, but I know they make a Mike's Hard Limeade as
oh,
well.
Oh yes, I said they have a bunch of. They have like mango, strawberry, a whole bunch. But I like the original. I'm a purist. I don't know.
I mean, there's something a little less manly about drinking Mike's Hard Lemonade, but Mike's Hard Strawberryade is just right out the door in terms of manliness.
Right. The white flavor coloring of this like see through clear. Works for me, and it's a nice like black and yellow label, very very Pittsburgh piratey.
Oh well,
but yeah, I mean, I'm usually good with two and a half, three, and yeah, it's a nice way to go to bed at night.
Yeah, this I'm hoping the 60 minute plus the wine in general will knock me out before the end of the podcast.
Right, especially since I mean, most games now, and we'll go into it. It's just like.
It's
Come
painful
on.
To watch.
Come on. Even when we win now, sometimes they're last-minute hit games. Like,
well, you know what it is this weekend was a good weekend, right, against the Mets. They went 3 out of 4. But that was preceded by a stretch where they went 3-11.
Yeah.
And they just looked bad the entire time. I mean, even the wins, they would score 5. And they won 5-2 or whatever. And it was just... It was bad. It was really bad. And I wrote about it on the blog. I don't know that they can recover from this.
No way.
I wrote an entry.
I agreed with, your article that you wrote.
Just a dreadful 10 great games is really what it was. They went, I think, 2-8 in the 10 games, but they ended up going 3-11 over the 12 games or over 14 games. And,
wait, you know, the 3-11, how many of the series, did they win any series?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you and me always talk about that. You could basically look at a schedule and be like, count how many series wins and do that like that. And that way you can really figure out if
Not only did they lose every series, but they lost a two four-game series, which means they didn't, you know, those are series where you can split and go 2-2 and not be, no, they went 1-3 against the Phillies, 1-3 against the Pirates, 0-3 against the Dodgers, and 1-2 against the
Dodgers. Just the Marlins manhandled us.
Yeah, and you know, look, the schedule gets decidedly easier.
True.
Not counting
Atlanta. But so does the Braves.
Well, the schedule gets decidedly easier not counting Atlanta over the next few weeks. So,
right.
Is it possible that they go on a run when they play Milwaukee?
Yep.
They go Milwaukee, Atlanta, Philly at home.
Yes.
Who apparently, according to their closer, the season is over for Philly. Right. Now, the season was over for Miami in May, and the Nats could only beat them once. So what does that mean?
I have to say, though, I think they're putting out a better product on the field.
They are, but they still have, like, you know.
They have some really good young hitters on that team.
They play Chicago, at Chicago. They go to Kansas City. They go to Miami. They play the Mets. They play Philly. They play Miami. They play the Mets. They play Philly. I mean,
that's super
their
easy.
Season is basically they play no good teams other than they play three games against San Francisco, and San Francisco is not doing great right now.
No, terrible.
San Francisco is further back, five games back from the Nats in the wild card hunt. Okay, so they're not, you know, they're the World Series champions, all that, but they're not playing great right now.
Right.
They play Atlanta six times. They play San Francisco three times. They play St. Louis at St. Louis three times and Arizona at Arizona three times.
St. Louis is awesome. That team is so good.
So other than that, they're not playing any good teams. Does that give me any confidence that they can win with the way they've been playing now?
No.
But it's also not outside of the realm of possibilities. I'm not going to sit here and say the season's over right now. Now, as we talk, it's basically Tuesday night with the Nats game over against Detroit and the Braves game essentially over. They're up by like 10.
Five, yeah.
So the Braves are going to be 10 games ahead of the Nats. So you look at that and you go, well, there's just no way they're catching up, because if they go, let's say they play the Braves and they win both series, but they go 2-1 in both series.
Right.
They only gain two games
because
they're going to, you know, 4-2. They gain two games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, can they catch the Braves?
No.
They certainly could, but I don't, you know, the Braves are starting to play well, which is a big problem. Actually, they play nine games against the Braves, not six. So.
Good Lord. Yeah, because then they played, isn't it the last series of the year?
Yeah. So, nine games is certainly better opportunity.
True. But they would have to sweep them to really be like.
Well, sweeping them is, you know, if they went 9-0 against the Braves for the rest of the season, that puts them with one game within them. So you would assume they'd play well other than that as well, and they would do that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think the only way to win the division is sweeping them, but you'd have to think they would have to win at least six, probably seven of those games, as well as play well.
I would say get in the mindset as a team of we're playing for the wild card. But is that what they do in baseball?
I totally agree with you. I mean, I think they – I don't know. Whatever mindset they're in is incorrect. But I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, 2 months ago when they were down by a few games to the Braves and they weren't playing great, but neither were the Braves, before they had this just absolute disaster around the All-Star game, we kind of said, well, they have to win the division because the wild card just looks unattainable.
Right.
But they're actually 6.5 out of the wild card spot.
Right. A manageable number.
There's only one team above them. Cincinnati has the second wild card spot right now.
Right.
So Pittsburgh is actually in the lead of the Central.
Right. Behind, but it's a, behind.
It's half a game ahead of St. Louis as we're speaking. Although I believe they're winning.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is.
So Pittsburgh, St. Louis, give or take, one of those teams is going to be there at the end of this conversation. And the Reds are going to be – the Reds play late at night. They're playing at San Diego. They're going to be either –
they're going to kill them.
They're going to be 4.5 out or 5.5 out.
Right.
give.
So what's the magic number, do you think, of wins? That you need to get this number of wins and you'll make it into wild card? I think it's 83, 84, somewhere in that
I think it's
range.
More than that. I think it's
really?
I think it's like 86, 87. Wow. Because...
See, I don't know if we are in 86, 87 team. That's only... What do we have last year? 90?
98.
Oh, yeah, right. 98. So you're saying it's 10 less than last year. No yeah, way.
It's tough right now. They're 3 games under 500. It's hard. And it's not just that they're 3 games under 500. It's the way they're playing.
Yeah.
They just look bad. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've talked about this, one of the things that's hard to watch with the Nats is there's two real things. Is one is a game like the game that we're speaking right after they lost 5-1 to the Tigers. And it was 1-1. It was 1-0 Nats, and then it was 1-1. And Strasburg pitched a really good game, and then he got blown up in the sixth inning.
Right,
I think, gave up a grand slam. And first of all, you knew the game was over, then, because they didn't. It was just one of those games where they didn't hit, and they have so many of those games where they didn't hit. But one of the problems with where they are now and how poorly they've played over the last few weeks is every game that they lose, you're just like, oh. That was terrible. That, you know, it just kills you.
Yeah.
And
very true.
It wasn't like that last year when they were winning a lot of games. It was like, all right, there was a loss. We'll come back and get them tomorrow. And you're like, today, you're like, there was a loss. Maybe we won't win again for a week. That's one problem. The other problem is, you know, Strasburg got destroyed tonight in the sixth inning with a grand slam. But he was one pitch away from getting out of that. And if he had done that and it was 1-1 going into the seventh, and then 1-1 going into the eighth, and then they lost in the 10th or something like that, or the ninth when Soriano gave up something. It's one of these. The problem is over the last few weeks, the Nats have actually pitched really well, and their starting pitchers have come out and done really well. And we can't even appreciate it because we're so busy stressing over the hitting.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that, you know what, Zimmerman's had a rough couple weeks, but they're having three or four pitchers come out, and Heron's looking better these days. I mean,
he has pitched good.
I don't know. It's a shame because the pitching is actually doing pretty well, and it's like not even I can't even appreciate it. And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at the stats, and I'm going, wow, that's amazing. Too bad the rest of the team isn't backing him up. It's just it's hard to watch. So, you know, you hope they can figure out a way to turn it around because. There's no rhyme or reason for why they're this bad, right?
Right. Now, how do you feel about what happened? This happened, I believe, the day after we podcasted last week. The firing of Mr. Eckstein.
You know, some people said this was like a mistake by Rizzo. I don't think it was a mistake.
I don't either.
I don't know that. I don't know that bringing in a new hitting coach will make a big difference.
No way at this time of the season.
But at the same time, like, if your employees at a company have any measure of responsibility for their jobs and what they do, how could you not say he wasn't doing a good job? And I get the loyalty that Davey has for him, and I sympathize with him, and I know some of the players were pissed. I mean, Desmond, I think, was mad.
Changed Desmond's career.
Right, Desmond won a Silver Slugger last year, and guess what? He's doing awesome this year. He's got over an 800 OPS as a shortstop. He's basically the third best hitting shortstop in the National League. So I'm sure Desmond's like, well, crap, I really liked him. I don't know what the hell you guys are doing wrong. And Desmond has a right to complain because he's actually hitting well enough.
Right.
At least relative to his ability and his position. I don't know what else you would want out of Desmond. Desmond has the second highest OPS among qualified starters in the National League shortstop, only behind Jean Segura, however you pronounce it.
Right.
How do you pronounce that one?
Segura.
The first name, I mean.
Oh, Jean. Jean-Lou? Is it like Jean-Lou?
Jean-Lou. Yeah, anyway, Segura. We'll just go with that.
Right.
He's the only one with a better OPS. And by the way, number three on the list is like 80 points behind Desmond. So,
really? 80?
Yeah, Desmond's OPS is 811.
That's pretty Cabrera, insane.
Everett Cabrera is number three on the list with a 733.
That's pretty insane.
So, and it's not, you know, Desmond's got the power, right? Mm-hmm. And so you think, well, maybe that's all locked up in his slugging, and on base is more important. But he's still like number four in on base in among shortstops. So, I mean, he really is like a really good hitting shortstop. So I could see why he's pissed, but I got no problem with them doing it because they had. I feel like they had to do something.
Right.
Maybe exactly. It didn't work, but you can't just sit still and be like, well, we will continue to suck now.
What else is terrible, though, is that it had to be him because it couldn't be Davey, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's like he's the second biggest name on the team. If they would have fired, like, our pitching coach, everyone would have been like, who?
Well,
yeah.
Reason to fire the pitching
coach. True, but I'm just like, I'm trying to say that they protected Davey in that situation.
Yeah, and Davey's got a long-standing relationship with the team and with the ownership. And it's not, you know, people get mad at Rizzo. Who knows if this was a Rizzo move or a Lerner move? Although, from what I've heard, the Lerners have sort of given Rizzo his autonomy.
But I think it was a Rizzo. I think he had to do it to also, like, establish to these players, hey, if you're not doing the job, you're out of here. We'll find someone else.
Right. I agree with that totally. Yeah. And so they could be pissed about it, but, like, they need to take it as a message that, like, they're not doing their job.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, if it's an attitude problem with the team, then that's going to be probably not changed. That's one of the things that you expect a manager to help out.
Right. Can I also ask if you think Bryce has anything to do with who got eliminated?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure what Bryce would have.
Because I had heard that he doesn't take instruction from him.
Hmm. Anything's possible, but I don't know that the team is run by Bryce as of yet. Somebody that young with that many years of control left?
I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know. I mean, the thing that really bothers me about the team is, you know, we talk about how few runs they've scored.
Right.
But we talked about Desmond was second in OPS among the qualified shortstops.
Right.
It's not just him. If you look down the list, like I did this on July 25th, so that was just 5 days ago from when we recorded the podcast. Worth is second in OPS among the 18 qualified right fielders.
No, he's played great this year, I thought.
Harper is second in OPS among the top 15 in terms of plate appearances left fielders. Yeah. Zimmerman is fourth in OPS among the top 15 third basemen.
Right.
Ramos is fifth in OPS among the top 200.
This doesn't match with the record then.
Rendon is fifth in OPS among the – now, he doesn't qualify. Ramos and Rendon – sorry, Ramos doesn't qualify because he doesn't have enough at-bats. Rendon, I took the list out to 200 plate appearances, which is a little low for this time of year, and he ranks fifth.
Wow.
And so all of these guys are the top – not just the top half, the top third.
So what is it? They're not hitting it together?
Some of it is untimely hitting in that – And that's really twofold, right? They're not hitting with runners in scoring position. And there's not much you can do to change that. There was a great article that I linked to on my Twitter account. I think it was on SB Nation. But it was basically about, like, the myth of clutch hitting.
Right.
And that was basically, like, saying that if you do the math and you take somebody's plate appearances out to infinity, at some point they will – have the exact same numbers with runners in scoring position and without runners in scoring position.
Really?
Except for, you know, here and there because of sacrifices and stuff like that.
Oh,
like
right.
When a man's on third and you just hit a crappy pop-up, but it ends up going deep enough to left field. If the guy's on third, everybody claps because you hit a pop-up that scored a run. Mm-hmm. There were two outs, or if there were nobody on third, then it's an out, not a sacrifice. But in general, the numbers – They do tend to just go to be the same. And so, you know, it makes sense when you think about it, right? Mm. You know, Derek Jeter has a reputation for hitting well in the clutch.
And, you mean like coming back from an injury and hitting a home run?
Right, and Bryce Harper did the same thing. But in general, that doesn't like if you look at their numbers, even guys like that are only slightly better in the clutch.
Right.
And the reason is, if you can't handle the pressure of a pressure situation like that, runners in scoring position, 1-0 game, third inning, you're not handling the pressure of a minor league appearance where a scout might be there or a college. Like, you're never making it to the major leagues if you can't handle that pressure.
True.
And so true. The whole article was about how, like, yeah, there's some stats that might back up. Some players are more clutch than others, but in general, it's not much of a pronounced difference. And so to look at this team and be like, you know, they're just not hitting in the clutch because they're not – everybody should be traded because the guys can't hit in the clutch. It's BS. Like, that's not the way it works. So much of it is just straight-up bad, horrible luck. And that evens out. The problem is it hasn't evened out for the Nats, certainly not in the amount of time that they needed it to.
Right.
And the way statistics works is, yeah, when we look at things from a million, you know, if we take a million samples, then we go, yeah, it evens out. But over the course of a 162-game season, there isn't a million samples. So just because they had a month where they hit 150 with runners in scoring position, it doesn't mean that statistically they'll have a month where they hit 550 to even out.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right.
It just means that, like, there's a month where they hit 150, and over the course of the season, if they're 270 hitters, then they should be about 270 with runners in scoring position. But maybe this year, because of that one really unlucky month, they're only 260.
So what you're basically saying is there's no really way to quantify clutch.
That a lot of the evidence says that there isn't, and that
that's crazy to think that, though, you know? Because you see it live, like, as it's like an emotion almost when you see it live and you're a fan and seeing it. And
you know what it is, though? There's so much that we don't remember of the times that guys like, I don't know, Michael Young has a reputation for being clutch. There's so many at-bats in the seventh inning when the, you know, when the Rangers were in the ALCS that we didn't remember him striking out at because we remembered him not striking out in the eighth or, you know, whatever it is. You know, he hit a double in the ninth to win it. Well, he was up with the bases loaded in the seventh and struck out. Are you telling me he turned on his clutch in the ninth?
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
So, I see what you're saying.
So there are some guys who have numbers to back it up, but this article was saying, like, even the numbers don't make sense to think that that's all that matters. You know, there are guys in the Hall of Fame that are, like, borderline Hall of Famers that were great, quote-unquote, clutch hitters.
Right.
And then you look at, like, no doubt Hall of Famers and you go, well, Babe Ruth wasn't as good of a clutch hitter as he was all the time. Does that mean Babe Ruth locked up in the clutch? No, it's just over the course of his career, because everything does even out in the end, he hit slightly better when he wasn't in the clutch than when he was. It wasn't mental. It was just that's the way the balls fell on the grass, you know?
Right.
Interesting. I think some people will argue that, but, I mean, the evidence seems to suggest that they're – and logically, it doesn't make sense that Bryce Harper wouldn't try as hard at certain times.
That is true.
That his brain goes, oh, my God, this is so much more important. I have to get a hit here. You don't have a certain amount of hits that you get to use.
Plus, they're professionals. It's like to them, every hit is the same. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Exactly. And so when Bryce Harper goes up with, you know, bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, or that home run that he hit.
Yeah.
You know he was trying to hit a home run, but there was
every time.
but there was no point where he was like, "Oh well, this is the one I have to do, so I will pull one from my pack,
right?
And I will use one of my home runs. I know I have 35 this year, so I'm going to use one right now." It doesn't work that way.
But it's funny. It's like when you see it, sometimes you're like, "Wow!" It's almost like it was written. Like,
I mean, I don't think hitting in the clutch is a figment of our imaginations. I just don't think guys control it as much as we think they do.
Right.
Some guys do have hit in the clutch, and there are hits that are done in the clutch. But that doesn't mean that there are guys that are just better at it than others, you know?
Right.
Guys that suck at hitting probably aren't going to hit as well in the clutch. And Miguel Cabrera probably hits really well in the clutch.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a really good hitter, not because he's, you know, toughens himself up. So anyway, that goes back to my original topic, which is, like, I don't know that even replacing Davey Johnson or whatever is going to fix their hitting in the clutch problem.
Right.
The other problem, it's the runners in scoring position issue. The other thing is their numbers look good in part because they've had so many games where they've hit really well and really well. And so they'll have a 3-for-4 game and then an 0-for-4 game.
I have, the only problem I have with the team is that I thought for some reason this year we would be stealing more bases, and it just hasn't happened.
Yeah, well,
I hate it
when your guy who steals base, who is supposed to steal bases, doesn't get on base. Denard's span on base percentage is like 315 or just below 320.
Yeah,
that's not good.
It's really not good.
That's really like not really a major league starter, especially a guy who can't hit with any power.
Right.
Although he has hit two home runs in the past weekend. You know, it goes back to what I was saying before about the guys on this team. Who are you going to get that's better than Ian Desmond, Ryan Zimmerman, Bryce Harper,
exactly.
and Wilson Ramos?
Right.
Okay. Those five guys, Worth, Ramos, Zimmerman, Harper, Desmond, find me replacement players for them that are legitimately accessible and good. I don't think you can do it. You're going to
love the makeup.
You're going to trade the second best hitting shortstop for the best. Okay, what are you going to give up for that? You know, like, it's just not really conceivable.
Right.
And so then there are the other guys. Okay, Rendon. Rendon's been in a slump. He hasn't been hitting great. So do you think he's going to hit great? Because I do.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like he's going to be amazing. So, all right. So there's your second baseman. So what you have left is you have a center fielder who's playing poorly and a first baseman who is hitting terribly.
Yeah.
And so that's the only positions where you can probably do something worthwhile. Now, there's some stuff with the pitching that can be done, I guess, but this team's issue is not its pitching.
Right.
And so the only real thing you're going to – yeah, I mean, maybe they could drag up a fifth starter somewhere, but look, I don't really – I'm not really concerning myself with this pitching.
Right.
It's the hitting. And so, you know, the only thing you could do is do something, whether it's find a new first baseman, find a new center fielder, find a new corner outfielder and move Harper to center. That's about it.
Right.
I don't know what else you could change.
I'm not in the mood for them to make a move at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a strong collection of players. The problem is, other than that fluky runners in scoring position that I'm telling you is fluky,
right?
I can't explain why they can't score. Or they score 10 one game and zero the next. It's just, it sucks.
I don't get it. Yeah, that's the hardest thing.
I mean, it's depressing. It's disappointing, but, you know, we can talk about what maybe they need to do to fix the team later, but. Right. I don't think at this trade deadline there's that.
I wouldn't try to fix the problem now.
You know, I also don't think there's a whole lot of players available to go after.
I think if they were at four games back, then you would think about making a move.
Yeah, I think if they were closer, you would consider giving up somebody mediocre, you know, a potential player, a major leaguer, not necessarily a star. You're not going to give up like a Giolito type,
right.
You know, a potential fourth outfielder, a potential starting outfielder on a not so good team kind of guy, for a fifth starter, something like that. You know, maybe even giving up less for some bullpen help. But I just don't see the need right now.
Right. I agree.
So. You know, where does that leave them? It leaves them with the team they have and the manager they have for the next few months.
And I'm fine with that. I really am.
I'm fine with it, too. Now, here's something. I've always liked Davey Johnson, but he hasn't made the right moves this year.
No.
Now, some of that, I'm not convinced that managers – I think there are some managers that truly do have an effect on the game.
Like Joel Maddon.
Yeah, I think the Rays probably have a few more wins because of him. Or how about Buck Showalter? The Orioles probably have a few more wins because of him than
Terry Francona.
Yeah, boy,
guy is amazing.
I was pissed when the Indians hired him because I really wanted Davey to ride off into the sunset this year and Francona to be the manager next year.
I want Don Mattingly. That's my dream.
Johnny Baseball?
Yes.
My Don Mattingly jersey to the games.
I would go crazy if he replaced Davey Johnson. It'd be like a dream come true.
Well, what about so let's talk about this for a second. Because let's say the Nats make the playoffs.
Yes.
Whatever Davey wants to do, I think he earns the right to do
it. Yeah,
If they can come back and make the playoffs, and he says, I'm not, you know, and then they don't win. He says, I'm not finished here. I want to win the World Series.
Oh, wait, he wants to come back? No.
Let's say they make the playoffs, though.
Okay.
You say, if you want to come back, you're allowed to?
No, you have to win it to go.
See, for me, I think if they do make the playoffs, he comes back. If they do make the playoffs, he's allowed to come back. I don't think he will.
Right.
But I think they should let him.
He should be a consultant, and then we get some hot, young, like John Gruden guy to come in, and we're amazing.
And he just talks about this guy all the time.
Who do we get? Who's like newly out? Like Bo Jackson or someone hot?
This guy.
Jordan. Michael Jordan. I'll take it.
Jordan, because he's been really good as a player.
Wade Boggs, what's he doing? George Brett. Get someone hype.
So here's my other question.
Pete Incaviglia.
Let's say the Nets don't make the playoffs. And then he goes, boy, I really have unfinished business here. I want to come back. The Nets have a really strong relationship with Davey. I don't think they can take him back if they don't make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, no way.
Now, that's a far, distant thought, but I would have a really hard time taking him back.
Right.
So, anyway, the thought is they'll have a new coach next year.
I think so, too.
Now, there's one guy that's out there that you never know might want to come back, and that's La Russa. Would you take him in?
Oh, yes.
You just almost made a Homer Simpson sound on that one.
Yeah, because I got too excited. That would be, perfect.
Now, I don't know a lot of
you know what else I'm worried about, though, too?
What's that?
I'm also worried about if we end of baseball comes and the Nets are not going to make the playoffs and Redskin season starts, it's like no one's going to care about the team, and I hate when that happens.
Yeah, but you know what?
Like, last year, everyone was in on the Nets. It didn't matter if football was on.
Your afternoon radio shows are now – the two sports radio shows in the afternoon are going to be hosted by a sports talk guy and a Redskin.
Oh, Redskin.
So that's happening anyway. Oh. So tune into the podcast, people. God. So if you look at managers, there's a couple guys out – I don't know who – whatever. I'm looking at the list of guys – I don't know who Bo McLaughlin is, the pitching coach of the Rockies. So, maybe he's the best candidate out there, but I don't know those guys.
Guys from the mid to late 80s.
What I was going to say is the guys I know are the ones that played. And right. If you look at the teams, if you look at the Diamondbacks
have Kirk.
Kirk Gibson's their manager.
Yeah.
But Alan Trammell, borderline Hall of Famer, is their bench coach.
Oh, he's bench? I thought he was hitting.
Nope, bench coach. Their hitting coach is Don Baylor.
Oh, amazing, Don Baylor.
Their pitching coach is Charles Nagy. Their third base
oh, my God. Coach, is this an all-star team?
Their third base coach is Matt Williams.
Wow.
And their first base coach is Steve Sachs.
This sounds like the greatest team ever.
And, the bench coach the first base coach of the Braves is Terry Pendleton.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's a couple more guys that are out there that you definitely, the Mets.
Jose Oquendo.
Bob Guerin is the
Jose Oquendo.
Well, yeah, he's out there. Bob Guerin's the Mets bench coach, and
Tony
he's like
Tarasco.
A catcher, but he already managed, so I don't know if I want a guy that already managed and failed. But
what about Tony Tarasco?
Now you're talking about hiring internally,
right?
And if they're hiring internally, then it's probably going to be Randy Knorr.
Is that the Tony Tarasco that actually played for the Expos?
Yeah,
not his dad.
No.
Okay, so this is Tony Tarasco Jr.
This is Tony Tarasco that stood under a fly ball when
the Yankees.
Yeah, it's that Tony Tarasco.
Okay, wow. I didn't realize he was into coaching.
There's a lot of guys out there. And I don't know who else is out there, but I mean.
Cal? Some people have there's some rumors about Cal.
I don't think he would manage
it. That would be unbelievable.
And then the Nats could trade managers with the Orioles.
Fine.
No, actually, the one that I was very disappointed to hear, I was very disappointed because you knew coming into the season, even if they won the World Series or even if they finished in last place, that Davey was supposedly going to retire.
Right.
So I was thinking last year about who they're going to bring in, and all I wanted them to do was get
Francona.
Francona, because
yeah,
I
agree.
Think
he's a
think
great
he's
coach.
So solid.
Dude, he changed Boston's entire attitude. Like, he was so important for that run there.
And even Cleveland this year is half out of the wild card right now.
Right.
I mean, Cleveland.
He's a great coach.
I think he is, and they're never getting rid of him. So.
Right. No, he's there.
So, okay. So we've talked about a lot of bad things.
Yes.
There was one good thing that happened.
Yes, there is.
And that's Taylor Jordan.
He is awesome.
He looks great, man. I mean, so this is a guy that never really struck out more than, like, I think the number was like 7.2 per nine, which is like, look, you do that in the majors, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But you're doing that in the minors, you're not going to then go do that in the majors. That's
right,
not how it works.
Right.
So you're looking at a guy who is going to be like, what was he going to strike out, like 5 per 9, something like that. The other day he came out and he was killing people with his off-speed stuff.
And his slider is ridiculous.
It's really good. And this is a guy that really, I mean, he wasn't on the top prospect list.
True.
So all I knew about him was like...
Tommy John is all I knew about him.
Tommy John and ground ball pitcher, right?
Right, right.
So he is an extreme ground ball pitcher. So I wrote about him on Monday, and he's... If he had enough qualified starts, he'd be 5th in all of the majors in ground ball to fly ball ratio.
Wow.
So we've talked about this before. This is like the allure to me. Like, they're not sexy pitchers because they don't strike out a lot of guys.
Right.
But this is the allure to me of somebody like when Chien-Ming Wong was on the Yankees and then the Nats got him. And I was like, oh, if he's healthy, this is what he'll do. It's like if you come up to a guy like that and you can't hit the ball in the air, once in a while, you're going to get balls hit through the infield.
Right.
But you need 3 or 4 in a row to score one run.
Right.
And to score 2 or 3 runs in an inning, you need a lot. And so those guys end up doing a lot of what, like, Wong did with the Yankees, which he wasn't spectacular, but he would go 7 or 8 innings and give up 2 to 4 runs every time. And that was it. And so the Yankees had the offense to outscore that most of the time. So he was able to win 20 games a year.
Wow.
And when you have somebody like that, and he was their ace, when you have somebody like that as your 5th starter, it's just, it's reliable. It's, it's good. It's good for your team. And then what Jordan has done now is come out and he struck out 7.
Yeah.
In 6 innings.
I'm telling you, it's that new slider that he just cripples right-handed batters.
I looked at Brooks Baseball, which does the pitch effect stuff, and his percentage of swings and misses on not only his slider but his changeup are in like the low 20s, which is basically better than what Strasburg has on any of his pitches.
Wow.
And because I compared him to like Gio and Strasburg, who you think of as like real strikeout pitchers,
right?
Now Gio's – so one thing that kind of surprised me about Gio is actually it's his fastballs. It's his four-seamer and his sinker that people swing and miss on. So – there must be some late life in Gio's fastball. And that's something that, like, I don't think pitch effects can – at least I don't understand the calculus behind pitch effects to know what late life looks like on those
players
that they have out there. But, like, he's getting 37% swings and misses on his four-seam fastball. That means either it's, like, way faster than people realize, and so they're swinging late, or, like, it's moving or whatever. Whereas Taylor Jordan and Strasburg are, like, below 10% on their fastballs. Now, fastball or Strasburg's fastball, he only gets a 7% swing and miss rate, but he throws it way more than any of his other pitches. So it's actually the pitch that people miss the most on of his. It's just a lower percentage. But if you know, and Jordan, I don't know that he's going to keep this up, right?
Well, he only has 3 starts left.
That's true, but I mean, once the league sees him, even if it's next year, I'm not sure.
Well, you never know. He could keep developing that pitch.
But my point is like, he's a solid 4th or 5th starter.
Right.
And he's got to be penciled in as that guy next year. Like, there's no reason to go out and get a Dan Heron if you have – if Detweiler's healthy and Jordan's healthy, there's no reason to go out and get a Dan Heron. There's a reason to go out and get a 6th swingman type starter, but Jordan is certainly good enough to be a 5th starter and probably a 4th starter on a championship caliber team.
I agree.
But if he gets the – and that's just with the ground balls – but if he gets these off-speed pitches, he's better than that.
Right.
He's a number 3 probably.
Wow.
So I'm just excited. I mean, I don't know that it's going to last. I don't know that there's any evidence to suggest it will. But If it did, that'd be freaking awesome.
That'd be pretty
awesome.
Incredible, yeah.
I'd be pretty excited about that. So,
all right.
That was the good from a pretty bad week.
That was the good from a pretty bad week. But we have other good news. We are on iTunes officially.
Yes. Holm, you did some amazing artwork.
Oh, it's amazing to have it there. It's amazing that you can go there, everyone. Just go type in the Nationals Review Podcast into iTunes. Subscribe there.
Yeah, type the whole thing in.
Go to the then write a review, because we would love to get reviews in there.
Yes, we already have one review I see by SA51.
Look at that.
He said we have great insight in both his subject line and his body, which is good.
He wanted to make sure it was there, I guess.
He really thinks we have great insight. Seriously, if you like the podcast, please go subscribe and write reviews, because, look, we love you coming to the web to the website and doing stuff on the website. And if that's the way you want to get it, that's the way you get it. Perfectly fine by us, but if you can, go to iTunes and put it on there, because iTunes, it'll give us the opportunity to show iTunes that people are listening.
Correct.
And that will give them the impetus to put us, you know, on the front page or something like that, and get more people to listen. And
exactly.
That's what keeps us enjoying doing this.
Yes.
So, Colm, you and I are going to go to – we're not going together. You're actually going with your family.
Yeah, but I will definitely see you.
We're going to watch them play the Braves.
Yes.
And it's a big series. I mean, if they come out and they win a couple games against the Braves and look alive, you know.
Who do we predict to be the pitcher that game?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to see.
Strasburg was tonight, so.
They've got a few games to go.
I have to look at the schedule, yeah. That's too hard to predict that, yeah.
But we're both going on Wednesday.
Yes. So maybe I'll bring something, maybe that little mic, to do a little quick little thing.
Yeah,
while we're there.
Absolutely.
We'll see. Anyway.
But either way, they need to start winning. August is it, right? And it's not just August.
August is it.
It's probably they play the Braves the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th, and then they play the Braves the 16th, the 17th, and the 18th.
Wow, and then they play last series of the year.
They have to win some of those games. I mean, if they're not anywhere near the wild card by the 18th of August,
then you just start calling guys up.
That's kind of my marker, because that's the second to last series against the Braves.
Yeah.
You know, after that they go play the Cubs, the Royals, the Marlins, the Mets. Unless they go out there and just win every single game, I don't even think they can hit the wild card if they're still, you know, 6.5 back.
They got Miguel Tejada it and just win 20.
Maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need to sign Miguel Tejada.
Fine.
Get the
move Zimmerman over to first.
There you go. Maybe Miguel Tejada could play center field for him.
Fine. Does he sing the Fogarty song too when he does it?
Play center. Yeah. Look at me. I can be center field.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Follow me on Twitter at Culmination. Follow Charlie at Twitter at
Nationals Review.
And
go to the nationalsreview.com. Please, if you get a chance, just go to iTunes, subscribe. You don't have to listen to through iTunes if you prefer the website, but subscribe, give us reviews, as long as the reviews are at least 3 stars, please.
Right. Go to Best Buy, subscribe there on their computers. Wherever you want.
Yeah, go to your local Best Buy. That's what I'm doing at lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. Alright, everyone. We will be back soon, and I'll see you at the park.
See you at the park.